Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Revolution.
The Football Show. It's a philosophy on CliffCentral.com.
It's Wednesday and it is The Football Show, a show about football, Leicester City, Theo Mojo, the colour yellow, black bad bitches, and Leicester City winning the league, trap music, what else?
Views
from the six, what an album.
Yeah, Drake was, he's just,
oh God, Jesus.
As Mr. Durag would say, floating with
angel
with
music.
Angels. Yeah.
Floating with angels was Drake, oh my God, what a... I can't breathe.
Oh, it's going to be an epic episode of Leicester City proportions. The greatest achievement in sporting history this side of the millennium.
Of the universe.
I cannot believe what we've just witnessed.
Yes.
Impossibly the most unbelievable twist of events.
Yes.
The battle, the bruising battle at the bridge. Chelsea, Tottenham. 2-2.
Yeah.
2-0 down.
Yeah.
They come back to make sure Leicester clinch the title. And delirium. It was completely
delirium
absurd.
In Leicester. And so we have a great show lined up for you guys today. If you want to call us, you can get us on 0861-555-189. Or alternatively, you can Skype us. Or do we even have a Skype address?
We don't have Skype.
No,
you can email us.
You can email us at thefootballshow@cliffcentral.com. Or follow us on Twitter on @footballshowcc. Or follow us on Periscope, where we post nothing because it's ironic, on @footballshow. Right, let's get on with some intros. Top of the dome intros today, Theo Mojo. Yeah. This is Common Question about to go down, about to spit bars. You know what I'm saying?
The man who makes his own living room into Magic City.
Yeah.
The man who has gone and become a philanthropic member of society.
Yeah.
By giving his legal advice to strippers and women of the night across the whole of Gauteng.
Yeah.
In order for them to receive an education.
Yeah.
And medical aid.
Yeah.
And vitality.
And
vitality
a pension.
Is crucial.
And a pension. And a pension, yes.
The man we all know as probably one of the most fanatical, loving, and disastrous Arsenal fans.
Dedicated. Factual.
To the cause.
Yeah.
A Wenger artist.
Yes.
The one man we know as Comrade Question. Welcome. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. The God is in the building. The God... What is going on here?
Mr. Question.
I want people to clap for me, damn it.
Go on, clap. Go on.
No one wants to clap for me.
Is this Wenger art, man?
The clap.
There we go.
Fucking bitches are clapping. Some say, he once went to Rhodes University at a place called O65 and called another man a racist.
That
is factual. Yeah. And that the reason for this outburst was because this man did not have the full palette of cardigans.
Yeah, it was actually kind of disgusting. I mean, just grey and brown.
And that he only ever used to say hi to white girls because he felt black girls did not understand his black wealth.
Yeah, it's very difficult. These are things that are
struggling. All we know is that he is the god of black excellence. The father time of the indubitable cross-galaxy intergalactic planetarium.
Oh God.
Swag of black people and excellence in the future.
Good Lord.
The god, the father of your swag, Theo Mojo.
Theo. Thank you very much for... we have got a show and we are going to start it off in terms of something epic.
Yeah.
You need to listen to this.
All right, so once again, fans can tweet us @footballshowcc or use the hashtag The Football Show. Football with a PH because it's a philosophy. And you can call us on 0861-555-189. We're talking about Leicester City doping fat people. Claudio Ranieri.
Riyad Mahrez.
Riyad Mahrez. Peters.
Tai Sangomas.
Tai Sangomas. Dalai Lamas. Cheating.
Delirium.
Doping.
Vardy threesomes.
Vardy threesomes. Doping and everything.
Oh.
Everything that we hate about
I'm
Leicester City.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
Durag Jesus in the building, everybody. Durag Jesus in the building. Give me a round of applause. Oh, there we go. There we go. Durag Jesus in the building. Right. Shall we get on with the show, Durag Jesus?
Yes, please.
Do you want to say hello to the people?
Hello, Mzansi.
Hello, Mzansi.
Mjani, Mzansi.
You will not get deported.
Molweni, Mzansi.
Molweni,
Totsins, Mzansi.
Oh, actually, we also have a bit about racists on the show today. Right?
We always have a bit about racism on the show.
Yeah,
because there's always racism.
Should we give these guys airtime?
Another day, another racist, fam. Another day, another racist.
This Matthew Tintin.
Tintin, yes, yeah. Yes. Anyway, it's the fairy tale that has gripped the imagination of millions around the world. And
millions.
Like all good fairy tales, this one has a happy ending.
Oh my god! Here we go. Listen to this.
Are we gonna play the clip now?
Yeah.
All right, let's play the clip.
Grammys.
Welcome to Leicester, an innocuous city in the English Midlands. In the days of the Empire, this is greatest producer of leather. In recent years, if known at all, it was as the home for England's most beloved manufacturers of potato chips. An unlikely setting then for one of the most magical and triumphant team underdog stories of all time. Leicester City.
Leicester are flying!
It's happening every week now.
A club who have charged from the bottom of the Premier League.
Despair for Leicester City. The bottom line is Leicester have lost again. They stay bottom and they have an almighty fight on their hands.
To the very top within the course of just 12 months.
Never right, Leicester are!
Are they the real deal now?
And against all odds, have remained there, defying the commonly held wisdom that economics off the field define success on.
They're not just beating the richest club in the land, they're ripping them up!
Prepare to relive this magical journey, the Leicester City story.
It's fantastic. They must continue to dream.
And it's game on!
The people of Leicester have gone beyond being surprised.
Leicester City just never know when they're beaten.
When we are desperate, we make more, more, and more.
And the fairy tale goes on!
In April 2014, under the authoritarian leadership of then-manager Nigel Pearson, Leicester City won promotion back to the top flight for the first time in a decade. With just a quarter of the season left to play, the club seemed doomed to make a quick return to the Championship, spending a league-high 140 days in last place, after losing 18 of their first 29 matches.
I mean, I've watched Leicester obviously a lot this season, and they often play well, but they just keep losing.
Aww. But anyway, yeah, no, look.
We just need an explosion.
We just need
just
an explosion.
Just to top that off.
So we might as well get that out of the way. Leicester City, this time last season, they were pretty close to the bottom.
Yeah. Before a doping and racism-fueled rally took them to 7 wins out of 9 games.
We've got a tweet from Stilo Masiliva, Guluva by nature, who says...
Guluva, Samkelo.
It says, football show CC presenters are also doping. What?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, of course. We want you to legalize doping.
Legalize
we are talking
it.
To FIFA,
legalize
to SAFA,
it.
To CAF.
CAF.
Go there to CAF and tell them to legalize doping.
Theo's wealth doping.
Wealth doping.
Wealth doping.
Yes, Theo's wealth doping.
Is that Triple M?
Actually, we've got another clip that we want to play quickly.
You know something else interesting about Leicester?
Yeah.
It's one of 3 cities in the UK that has a minority white British population.
Oh, really? Yeah, because
it's a very Asian area.
Yeah.
That and Bradford, I think.
Okay, here's one last clip we're going to play for you guys and just listen to the Arsene Wenger. What would a football show
Wanker.
Be without...
What are you doing, blood?
What are you doing, blood?
I don't deserve this.
All right, what's going on here?
Right, listen. Right.
Yeah, go on, man.
Shall we change glasses, mate?
If you want, yeah. It's not going to make a difference.
Listen, what did you make of the game?
Well, it's all right, but I'll tell you what. When fucking, what's his name come off and the other one come on, I thought, what's going on here? But as soon as they scored the goal, I was all right, innit? Got me hard on again. Because I had a semi going for a while. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, Arsene, get it together, mate. I had a word with this geezer before the game.
I talked to you. And you think this is time for change?
It is time for change. Get Ronald Koeman in, for fuck's sake. Geezer's got his own ideas and he's going to bring a new ideology to Arsenal. And we've fucking long been waiting for this. We can't fucking wait long enough. Come on, Arsenal!
So you
bring on Ronald Koeman, man!
Think Ronald Koeman.
It's bullshit, man.
Think Ronald Koeman would do.
Fucking Ronald Koeman, mate.
Think he'd do a better job than Wenger?
I've had enough of that shit. Arsene Wenger, you've had your time. You're destined to rule us for so long. But so long is up. You've been there since 96. We're talking. Eh? He's like Mugabe, he won't fucking go!
The Sonar exit came out. Oh man,
the Shona accent came out
when he said Mugabe.
Mugabe. I was like, yo.
Anyway, guys, so much to talk about. Let's continue with Leicester City. So Theo Mojo, take it away.
Unheralded. English soccer team Leicester City dismissed as non-starters to win the league this season. Indeed, the club tip for relegation was crowned champions after nearest rivals Tottenham failed to beat Chelsea on Monday.
Yeah.
We look at the defining moments in Leicester's season. Do you remember
the win against Man City?
The big 3-1 win against Man City, where Riyad Mahrez basically cemented his place amongst probably one of the best individual performances in the Premier League this season. And he deserved PFA Player of the Year.
No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
And that. At December 7th, Ranieri allows his players to go party in Belgium. Do you remember seeing those players?
Yeah.
They were dressed as Iron Man, as Banana Man.
As
Ninja Turtles. Mm. And it showed the man's complete and utter reliance on them.
He was aloof at that time. Like, come on, as a manager. You're coming into
a team
that is about to be that has just survived relegation, and that is how you build team spirit.
Doesn't it speak to the man himself?
Come on.
Doesn't that speak to him giving them the opportunity to go out, refresh their batteries, and say, come back. You even look at when he went to the pizza. Remember the pizza
thing?
Where
with the pizza
when he said, when you get a clean sheet, we will reward you with a pizza. And what happened? They went in there. It was against Crystal Palace.
But they still got a clean shit.
They went in there, got a clean shit.
Yeah, no, guys, do you remember, I think back in 2003 or 2004 when Ranieri was still coaching Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think it was December 2003.
Yeah.
And the Stamford Bridge pitch was still getting relayed.
Yeah.
And it looked like basically like a beach.
Yeah.
So they interview him after the match and he goes, the pitch looks like a bitch. it's hard to play football on the beach.
You know, there are so many things that could have gone wrong for Leicester City. And I mean, there's quotes from Jose Mourinho in, when was it? 2008, 2009? Mm. When they were in Italy together. And he was talking about how Claudio Ranieri is a 70-year-old man who's got no style. Who can't change his spots.
True.
And
spent 10 years in England, can't speak English.
True. And Mourinho spent 5 hours a day learning Italian.
True.
But to see the about turn from Mourinho yesterday.
Jeez, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
He was celebrating the win.
Share the magic.
Magic with Ranieri and the Leicester City players. And he is so gracious.
But the fact of the matter is, everything Mourinho said about Ranieri was completely correct.
No, but it was crass and
it was tasteless.
It was crass and tasteless.
What was crass and tasteless about saying this guy has spent 10 years in England, he still speaks English like a freaking Neapolitan?
No, but there's a way
savage.
Of saying it.
Yeah, there's a way of saying it and respecting other managers.
Why must he respect?
This is Mourinho. Hold up.
Was Ranieri worthy of respect?
Leicester's win.
Yes.
Ranieri in a 25-year
coaching
career.
He was a bridesmaid.
Had won, wait for it, a Super Cup and a Copa del Rey.
But now he's achieved one of the greatest sporting
He
has to be respected.
But at the time, he didn't deserve respect.
Oh my God.
At the time, he didn't deserve
respect. This is Mourinho. Listen to Mourinho. I want to congratulate everyone connected to Leicester City Football Club. Players, staff, owners, and fans. I lost my title to Claudio Ranieri, and it was an incredible emotion that I live this magic moment in his career.
It's a magic moment.
It's
your
a magic moment.
Your mother is magic. That what is a talking man. About?
Firstly,
oh, come on,
don't
man.
Let your pain as an Arsenal fan.
No.
You know, just I don't let it cloud your judgment. No, you don't.
I love Jose at
you
Inter don't. And Real Madrid.
You don't
I
love Jose. Him. You don't love Jose.
I like him.
You don't love him.
Oh,
you
hate
everyone
him.
Loves ever Jose Mourinho, but we are not. We are not.
Manager.
We are not completely.
He ethered your bastard underachieving manager.
We are not completely biased and close to
it's
what Mourinho
of,
can be.
No, but guys, at the end of the day,
we know what Mourinho can be. You know it yourself.
Let us be fucking honest right here.
Yeah.
You cannot expect Mourinho to talk to someone who's basically Sam Allardyce.
Regardless
you know,
of that,
because
you have
at that
to speak
time,
with a,
Ranieri
don't that be
not,
crass.
And also, don't forget, Ranieri don't, had a history of sniping at Mourinho. Don't yeah, make it seem true. Like Ranieri was just
Mourinho
chilling
has
in his
failed
lounge.
To live up to the legacy that he made Chelsea live throughout last season and became champions.
He failed.
He failed. He was
failed
a complete and utter failure, and
failed
everyone knows
he failed
it.
To continue his dynasty.
He failed to
but,
do.
But
they are nine. He left them in eighth.
Let's compare.
He left them in eighth.
A couple of Del Rey. A Copa del Rey,
in the Super Europe, Cup.
Super Cup, Spanish
we're not comparing,
Super Cup.
We're not comparing Mourinho from 2005. We're comparing Mourinho from last season. We're comparing Mourinho from last season.
You're fucking
we're
crazy.
Talking about Mourinho from last season.
I have to disrespectfully disagree with you because that's bullshit. You can't come and tell me we're not talking about Mourinho from 2005 when Mourinho won the league as recently as
we're
May
talking
2015.
About, we're talking about Mourinho from last
Mourinho
season.
Mourinho is a top three manager.
No one said that. Did anyone ever say that?
Is Mourinho a top
did
three
anyone
manager?
Did anyone say
okay,
that?
Okay, okay,
yes or no?
Okay,
is he a top
okay,
three
okay,
manager?
Okay.
Why are you carrying
he is a quality
case?
Manager.
Okay.
Everyone knows, but he failed.
Why are you carrying case on your head like Mourinho is not... Mourinho's not his mate. Are you fucking
no
mad?
No
Mourinho's not
Mourinho's
his ex-mate. No. I don't care about your opinion.
Mourinho was a failure
Mourinho
at Chelsea.
Mourinho is not Ranieri's ex-mate in
he
any way.
A failure. An utter failure.
Champions League.
Failure.
Fucking UEFA Cups, let's count more. Premier Leagues, more. Spanish Leagues, more. Italy, more. What did you say?
We are talking about 2015.
Just because he won with Leicester does not mean
he's
age-mate.
He's not his
what does age-mates have to do with it?
Room as Mourinho, please,
this is what
please,
we don't understand.
Here,
complete
please,
and utter.
Please,
oh my God.
Utter bias.
Anyway,
and complete and
facts.
Utter.
Okay. Okay, 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 okay.
Mourinho left Chelsea
okay.
at 8th.
It's Theo Mojo, let's leave that. We want to have 9 regrettable quotes about Claudio Ranieri from the past season. Number one,
Gary Lineker. His tweets.
He says, he tweeted on the 13th of July, 2015, Claudio Ranieri, really? That's Gary Lineker.
That's why you're just
oh,
a
where's Harry Redknapp? Harry Redknapp.
Didn't he play for Leicester as well?
Yeah, he did.
He's the greatest Leicester player ever.
Yeah.
Even Mazi is it.
Duncan says Jose Mourinho is going to coach Leicester. And then Claudio Ranieri is clearly experienced, but this is an uninspired choice by Leicester. It's amazing how the same old names keep getting a go on the managerial merry-go-round. That's Harry Redknapp. And then Harry Redknapp again says Ranieri is a nice guy, but he's done well to get the Leicester job. After what happened with Greece, I'm surprised he can walk back into the EPL. Dietmar Hamann, the former Liverpool midfielder who coached Leicester for a spell in 2011, tweeted, "Can't believe Leicester appointed Ranieri. Great club, great fan base, but I'm afraid MK rather than Old Trafford season after next."
But Hamann was doing cocaine and bloody stealing people's wives. So I think any... Yes! He was! When he was at Man City. Don't you remember, what's his name? Joey Barton was tweeting him saying, "Listen, I know what you were doing. You spent your money on cocaine and gambling,
wow,
and sleeping with other people's wives.
Wow.
So you have no right to come here," and he was basically...
But this
Barton
one was my favorite tweet from a West Ham fan, J-Y-J, James West Ham, W-H-U-F-C Jones, says, "Imagine bringing in Claudio Ranieri to manage your team when Sam Allardyce is without a club." But that's a factual
what
tweet.
What do people
Sam
love
Allardyce
about Sam Allardyce?
He's
no,
a
no,
good
no,
coach.
No, okay, chill.
No,
he's
not
competent.
Great.
He's
a competent coach.
But you know, fact, Sam Allardyce has never left a team lower than he's taken when he took over the
That's
range.
Actually, that's false because at
Newcastle
yeah, he left them in a lower position than when Bobby Robson...
But at West Ham? At Newcastle?
But Newcastle, your stat was that he had never, but Newcastle he did. He left.
Oh, okay. So
in the worst must have position been, than Bobby Robson.
Could have been that one, but I'm definitely.
And then
no, no, he's a good manager. Like
he's a good manager. He's competent. Like what he fitness,
does, what he does, data is analytics, he takes limited teams, consolidates them in the Premiership, make sure they survive and actually become staples. But if you need a manager to take you to that next level, where you win championships, where you establish a dynasty, he's not that. But and, if you need a manager for a club with limited resources, limited style of play because of the resources they have, Allardyce is.
And you also, I think, you get different managers, right? You get Harry Redknapp, who's your scrapper. He'll get you out of the championship. Scrapper.
You can't teach that.
Then you get Mick McCarthy, who'll win you a relegation battle.
It's his nose.
It's his nose, it's and his he also nose. Hates Roy Keane. And then you
that
get
that guy drinks more than fucking that guy needs
who,
to
Mick
check.
McCarthy. He's Irish, bro.
Mick
on.
McCarthy and Allardyce are the biggest drunks in the Premiership.
And Allardyce is so. Have you heard his quotes about foreign players? These foreign players coming in here. Teaching these players out there, diving all the time. And well, I mean,
didn't Allardyce play for United?
No, he didn't. No way. He played for Bolton Wanderers. He played for Bolton.
Did he play for Bolton?
He played for Bolton, I think.
Okay, well, let's move on swiftly. Shitty teams, we just want to give shout outs to our fans. We're going to give a huge shout out to the great one, Lionel Chisango, who was our first ever caller on the football show.
Oh, Mr. Chisango.
Oh, man. Lionel, we are so sorry for the lack of shout out. But we love you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call. And here's a round of applause for you.
Yeah.
And then we also have another shout out to Banele Khumalo, who says, listening to the football show, CC, I deserve a shout out though. I never miss a show. Well done. Good on you, Baba. Well done, Caster.
What are we giving the winners of our the fantasy football league?
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna show the results of with 3 game weeks left.
Is it 2 or 3?
It's 3 because I think there's a double game week next week.
Okay. So 3 game weeks left. Who's leading?
These are the top 10.
Football? Yeah,
with 1,980 points, Vishnu City Thunder, Sibongenani Luthuli.
Okay.
Ooh.
Luthuli Regal.
And then in number 9. You better check yourself. Tariro Chinaka.
Chinaka, chins! Oh my god.
1994. In 8th, the Welsh PLOs, Uzair Jadwat in 2003. Yeah. Loiso Mzinyati, the Coolies, Kulois FC, 2013 points. 6th, Pilani Ndlovu, Nizonia FC.
Nizonia.
Nizonia.
In 5th, Nhlanhla Nkubeka, Body on the Line FC, 2021 points.
Yeah.
Chiwunde Mwanza.
Yeah.
In 4th.
That must be from Zambia.
Nige Hive FC with 2026 points. I Bleed Blue. Ifelo wa Mwanyowa Akinmande.
Akinmande.
Akinmande. 2041 points.
You know him? Do you know Akinmande?
No. The all Nigerian people know each other.
How do you know? Come on.
160 million.
Come on, don't do it.
In 2nd.
Don't do this to yourself.
Only Nigerian.
Tubelihle Nguta.
Hey, second,
Black Excellence. Our league is so transformed.
2046, Bears Unleashed.
Bears Unleashed.
And in number one, Adrian Evans, Razors Rascals with 2,083 points with 3 games to go. That is well a league of more than 165
people. Where are the hosts of the show?
Let me just see.
Look for Durag. Durag is.
We have to go down.
How many people are actually on this league? 135?
There are 157 people.
Wow, 157 well done, people on the
we
football
need to
shows.
Give prizes to the top 5.
We're gonna give
can
prizes
I, can I
the
show
top 5.
Who's last?
Yeah, who's last?
Ray Silungwe. Ray Tuo.
I know
Ray.
1121 points. Come on, Ray.
Come
unlucky,
on, Ray.
Man.
Do better.
157 out of 157, bro.
Not bad.
The football show is in 145, so we're not that better.
Wow.
But it happens.
Who's managing that?
It's managing itself.
It's comrade question.
No, I'm not managing that. I haven't even touched that thing.
You manage the social media.
No accountability.
No, but I think Theo was tweeting.
Theo was the one was tweeting. Yeah, last time. You see Theo tweeting last time. Yeah.
I once captained Frank Sinclair. That was the last time I touched it.
Frank Sinclair! Come on.
It was Villa versus Swansea, man. Come on.
Okay, let's do. We want to do a quick roundup of Serie A. We're going to be joined by Gentleman Ultra at 12:30. Should be 11:30 UK time. Very smart guy, very knowledgeable on the Italian game. So we'll be joined by him shortly. But we're just going to give you a quick roundup of the Premier League results over the weekend. That's Watford 3, Aston Villa 2. Stoke City 1, Sunderland 1, Everton 2, Bournemouth 1. Swansea City 3, Liverpool 1. Wow.
And the Chelsea game.
Southampton 4, Man City 2. Who could have seen that coming, right? But you could have.
No, you could have.
But you know what pisses me off the most? United fucking draws to Leicester City.
Because Van Gaal is a
dick
fucking
bag.
Oh, what about the press
dick
conference
weed
afterwards?
Fucking
what about
no, but guys, like, I'm going to miss Van Gaal for the entertainment value.
For the entertainment value.
Do you remember,
sex masochism.
Sex masochism. You know, when you pull hair, you it's pull unacceptable hair. If it's sex masochism. So we know what's happening.
We know what is happening.
In the Van Gaal household. Yeah. The poor lady has to fucking, I don't know. 1-1 United Leicester City.
Well, like United, there are moments when I see United and I think there's hope.
Yeah.
You know, we play with verve, with pace.
Even that first 10 minutes, man.
With control.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think the players we have, firstly, just aren't good enough.
Yeah. Marcus Rojo's
shit. Two, Van Gaal is a dick fucking fermented piece of dick cheese smegma. With sentience,
I'd rather eat bites. Yes. I'd rather bite into a fucking toilet cake,
exactly.
Into a urinal cake.
Toilet
used
urinal
cake
at Oatambo, that's been used by 10,000 people.
Fuck Oatambo,
Park Station. Than that fucking piece of
not,
shit.
And not the new
as
side.
Manager,
not the new side.
The dirty side.
The real.
Because
Park
Van Gaal. I mean, firstly, we have a chance to be in it. For the fourth position, but this guy makes like for like changes.
Did you see what he was playing? 4-5-1 to Fellaini in the midfield.
And why does Rojo? I don't. You see
what does that
why,
fuck? What does Rojo
Gaal,
bring?
Van Gaal is destroying his legacy as a manager that promotes youth. Because look at the players who've been in the best form in the fullback position.
Timo Fosu-Mensah,
Varela, Mensah, and Bothwick Jackson.
Donald Love as well.
And
Bothwick
Jackson.
Bothwick Jackson
back though.
He's been fit, but Rojo gets an extended run. I've seen smallpox cultures less
faster.
Fucking no, I've seen smallpox cultures less devastating than
he
Rojo
has
in
the
defense,
fucking positioning of a fucking
diaper.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
And he fucking makes burnt toast. Did you see that picture on Instagram?
Bro,
like, how do you fucking eat burnt toast? You earn £100,000 a week.
That's his position. How
do you
burnt
make
toast?
Burnt fucking toast.
Burnt toast.
And now here we are. We're 4 points behind
Guys,
City with a game in hand.
I would rather have an Ebola outbreak in defense than fucking Rojo. Right?
Wow.
My
that
god.
Guy's
He's
positional sense.
Disgusting. And like, does he even know what he plays? Is he a right back? Is he a center back? What is he?
Is he a
he doesn't
back?
Know where he. What,
For
where,
me,
is he a left
I think
back?
He's a good center back.
Really?
He's a good team.
Do you know what? I think he needs a pairing where he goes 20 games playing with someone.
Yes.
Like him and Smalling.
He and
or some,
Smalling.
Or him and Blint.
Or
it just doesn't make sense how he keeps
but
on getting into the
is
side.
Is he not suffering from the lack of consistency in the back four as well from
no,
a Man United perspective?
No, but the back four has been settled for.
Why not play
like, Fosu-Mensah
then? Fosu-Mensah, you play Varela on the other side. Valencia,
guys,
I don't know why.
Did you see
he
the vine
back.
Of Fosu-Mensah dancing at a wedding while eating some Ghanaian
plantain
rice?
No, I don't know what it was. He was eating with his hands, probably like fufu or something. And he was that. The amount of joy and happiness on that man's face, it was basically like getting told you don't need to pay child support anymore. I've never seen a man so happy.
And since that West Brom game, the guy has been benched. He was taken off at halftime and he hasn't played a single game since.
Yeah.
That is
Van
Gaal. Remember Varela? Same thing at Liverpool. Benched him, took him off at halftime, hasn't seen a single minute of first team game time.
Yeah. All right, I love Varela.
We'll
though.
Move on to the next result, if anyone cares. Arsenal won.
Oh, God.
What was the team they played?
Norwich City.
Norwich City, no.
Danny
very,
Welbeck.
Very forgettable game, but I think only notable for the fact that Danny Welbeck came on and changed the game. He looks like a different animal this season.
Guys,
is it?
He's still only scored 5 goals.
Yeah but I mean, in like, what, 9 appearances? It's not bad.
I beg.
I guess it's Norwich as well, so there's that.
Okay, what about the debate about Iheanacho and Marcus Rashford? Do you guys see
Iheanacho
that?
Iheanacho is just better.
He's just better.
Yeah, everyone can admit that.
Shout out to Obz Z, who didn't actually know that Iheanacho is Nigerian. She thought it was Spanish.
What?
How is that Spanish?
How is that possible?
I don't know, man. But
she usually knows
No, I'm disappointed
stuff.
In her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She usually knows stuff.
No, thoroughly disappointed.
Thoroughly. This is disappointing.
Do you think they should start with Iheanacho up front? Today,
for against today,
if Aguero's not fit,
yeah, if Aguero's,
Aguero's
not fit,
yeah, but if Aguero's fit, go with Aguero.
Or they go with Kevin De Bruyne up there?
No.
Which one would they?
I'd put Kevin De Bruyne right wide or as a 10. Because
he played behind. He had Nacho up front with De Bruyne behind him.
David Silva's injured.
And then,
yeah.
I don't know if Jesus Navas starts another fucking game in the Champions. That guy, I don't understand.
He's scored
one goal
in
two seasons.
How does he not score goals
at a fucking Premier League club?
He only passed.
past.
But wasn't it at Sevilla? Was it Sevilla?
In Malaga. He was but at Malaga sure with Pellegrini, man.
Didn't have better Sevilla with the guys without the branding.
He never. No.
God damn.
He was shit.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, well, he's a defining player in Pellegrini's legacy.
He was a shit finisher, but he was a good player. Very good player.
Can we just say Otamendi is not worth £28 million? He's not worth fucking £2. The guy, I'd rather have Marcos Rojo playing in midfield.
I think Otamendi
at the back.
In the right setting.
But he's been
a good player.
He's had chances galore.
No. Look at Otamendi playing with Kompany and look at the difference in his performance.
The thing is, him and Mangala, him and Demi Kalish are a complete disaster.
Yes, because you can't have two headless chickens.
How many more seasons does Kompany have in his one?
No, Kompany is not even 30 yet, guys.
Yeah, but he's had the same injury.
Yeah.
He's had the same injury
14 calf injuries, but I'm sure they'll find some. But all I'm saying is, Otamendi is not a shit player.
Otamendi is not a shit player. I don't buy this thing that he's a shit player.
This is what we need to do. Like, you need to realize some players may not work in a certain system.
Yeah.
Right?
You
can't pair Mangala and Otamendi and then make complete judgments from that.
But they've cost
but
a complete total of £60 million.
It doesn't matter how much they cost.
They're the same person.
Look at the style of play. Look at the style of play.
When you buy a £30 million player,
but
you want him to come in there.
I'm not saying it's about the money.
He is not.
No, Theo.
Player that he was at Benfica.
Because
he is not.
Because he had a different. He had a different set supporting cast. Him. Yes, like someone like Otamendi.
So what does he? What would you want
like
him to do?
Someone like Otamendi is a front foot player. Have you noticed? He's always pushing up into midfield. Yeah, he's like Koscielny. He's like Koscielny. He's a front foot player who looks to dominate, to intercept, to push out of defense, right?
Yeah.
Then you need someone who's more cerebral, you know, less rash to hold his hand. But now you have Mangala and Otamendi.
City have what? Three big central defenders. These are Otamendi.
Well, it's not about
Mangala.
Size, but
no,
how
no,
they
not
play.
The size. I'm talking about in stature in terms of quality, world class. Right?
But look
Otamendi,
at Otamendi,
Mangala,
look at this performance
and Kompany.
All right, we are joined via Skype by Richard Hall. no, gentleman, alter. Richard, what's up, man? Can you hear us?
Hey, Richard.
Yeah, I can hear you well. You okay, guys?
We're all right, man. How you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Really good.
Thanks for joining us on the show, brother.
Oh, are you also nursing a hangover from the Leicester City win?
No. I think there's a lot of people in the UK that maybe, but not me personally. But it was fantastic there, wasn't it? Fantastic to watch, fantastic football, really.
So, Rich, what was your, you know, you've been covering Serie A, you're a Serie A aficionado, you are everything that is Calcio. So tell us what your review of Serie A this season has been. What are your highlights?
You've won it already.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you've won it. Who's your player of the season? And maybe a little something on Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah, sure. I mean, going through the season, I mean, I think the main one thing you learn is just don't write Juventus off. They just continue to impress. Beginning of the season, I mean, you looked at some of the major leagues and you saw like in the UK when Chelsea were floundering, Juventus were doing the same, lost four games early on before October. And, you know, Napoli were flying with Higuain. Inter, of course, what a start they had as well.
Yeah.
And it looked like it might be a bit of a changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then since October, I think it's something ridiculous now. Like they've picked up 75 points out of 73 points out of 75.
Jeez.
It's absolutely incredible. Only one dropped 2 points in 2016. And, you know, they lost a lot of players. They lost, obviously, Carlos Tevez was hugely important. And they had no one to come back and pick the ball up from deep. Pirlo had gone as well, obviously, to MLS. You could argue he was past his sell-by date, but it's still, he was influential the season before. And Vidal had moved to Munich. And Allegri had struggled in some respects to get these players working with the new guys in, especially people like Dybala had come in from Palermo, and obviously Pogba with a more central role.
Yeah.
And it did take time for that transition to happen, but when it did, it did. And it, what's been more impressive, rather than some of the incredible performances they've put in, is just a professional workman like 1-0 wins.
Yeah.
And Allegri's got his team just absolutely flying at the moment. And I mean, now it's so big of a transition that he's not just got them like Conte did, and who's dominant in Serie A, but they're now absolutely dominant and look like they can really push on in Europe. And a lot of that for me has been down to Paul Pogba, who, player of the season wise, Yeah.
Is he worth the 100 million that Maxi Allegri says that people want to offer for him? And will he go?
It's difficult to say whether he's worth 100 million. I mean, you know, even when you look at the Ronaldo's message of this world, is he up there with that? Not at the moment, because they've been doing consistently at the top level for a massive amount of time. If you value in potential, then yeah. I mean, this guy, when you look at the number 10s of like Platini and Baggio, Zidane, and, you know, the Juventus have had, there's no reason he can't be up there along those.
But
with
is
those
he
players.
A 10, though?
Fuck is Sir Alex Ferguson. I just needed to interrupt. Fuck you, Sir Alex.
Yeah, I'm afraid he did mess up with that one, didn't he? I mean, it's funny because the amount of people who, from Manchester United, some of the ex-players who've said, people like Paul Scholes who've said, you know, they recognised that in him and they were surprised that he wasn't called up for more game time. And so, yeah, he's one of the top summer targets. You know, whatever price that ends up standing in the current market, he's worth paying for. There's not saying that someone like a Paris Saint-Germain may not come in, or Barcelona or Real Madrid for that. But the interesting thing is he's exceptionally happy. Playing under Allegri. Okay. He's in a team that's built around him. He is the main guy. That's important to him. And also, he's got a good relationship with Allegri. He can see, he's bright enough to see the vision of where the club's going. He thinks that they will be able to win the Champions League next season. And he's now got a bit of a bromance going on with Dybala. So
they're forever dabbing on the pitch whenever they score.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. On and off the pitch. I mean, he's that picture from before the Palermo game where just before kickoff, they both put their fingers out and just touch fingers. And it's this weird moment where you just think, okay, guys.
All right, keep it together.
Just on a side note, Rich, I don't know if you follow any Lazio games. Mm-hmm. How has Ravel Morrison fared?
He hasn't really, unfortunately. You know, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I mean, last year, if you remember, the end of last year, were absolutely incredible. You know, it was purely just coach of the season almost. I think came second place.
10 games unbeaten or something.
Yeah, exactly. And Felipe Anderson was in color, so they were doing fantastically well. This season, they dropped off a lot. And I thought it may have been an opportunity for Morrison to come in. Unfortunately, it depends on what camp you want to believe. Morrison's camp sort of have indicated at the beginning that he wasn't really getting the chances. And it looked at the start, he had some good games in the reserves, but he's just not broken through. So, yeah, it's a shame really for him because he's a talented player.
Yeah, definitely. So, Rich, what do you think? So, Juve have essentially run away with the league, right? What's the way forward now for the Milan clubs? Like, how do they go forward now?
That's a difficult question. Very much in different ways.
Yeah.
There's such different levels. I mean, as you say, Juve were chased hard by Napoli, but realistically, you know, that was very much led by Higuain. And I think if Napoli would have lost Higuain for any substantial period of time, it could have been even more that they ran away with it. Inter are much further on in the project. The ownership's stable with Tahir, and the Sunning Group has just invested more capital into it. So they could have a good summer in the sense that they might be able to negate financial fair play a bit. They've got their pre-season goal was Champions League. They just missed out. They see it as a failure, but they are willing to plug on with the coach. It looks like Mancini's going to be there next season, unless perhaps not from the Azzurri comes in the national team. But it looks like he's going to be there. It looks like he's eventually settled on the players who are staying. Unfortunately, that team got beat heavily by Lazio in the weekend, so that didn't help him. But there's much more of an idea. The word project is banded around a lot at the Fiorentina Gentile, and also the idea of the marketing structure, the guys in from Apple, Bolingbroke doing well there. You know, they've got a lot of outside influences as to push the club on as a brand. It's still still not as strong as it should be, though.
Do you think Mancini was sort of swayed or distracted by the incident with Sarri?
I didn't
before the incident, Inter were actually contending, and I think they were first or second. And then once the incident happened and the outburst and the controversy around that, Inter's form fell away.
It did. I think at the time, the problem was with Mancini at that time is that he was getting a lot of stick. I think it was more the stick he was getting not for, for the incident itself, but more for the type of football he was playing. Mm. They were grinding out 1-0 wins. Mm. Once they were doing, as you said, you know, exceptionally well up to a point. This is when he tried to integrate those partnerships with Ljajic, Jovetic and Icardi. Mm. And he tried to be more open. Mm. And at the start of 2016, that did cost him in some games because they did become more... they had a little upturn in form and then they became quite lapse. Mm. But for me, really, it was the Lazio game just before Christmas, which really hurt them. I think that they were too overconfident. There was too many Christmas parties. And the Lazio game... started the rot. But just to quickly go back to Milan, they're in a whole different state altogether. The ownership situation's a real mess there, and I think it's going to be a lot longer before we have two strong Milan clubs.
Do they
and
have
also, the problem with sorry Theo the problem with Milan? I've also noticed the ownership flux and this desperate quest for relevance has made them do certain things
absurd things in keeping
with the Milan image. Like, for instance, the on-pitch
Haka with Nivea.
What the fuck was that?
That was horrendous. That was just hideous. In some respects, I'd have actually...
Is it a marketing ploy? What was it? What?
Well, the fact was the dance itself, they weren't doing the Haka. The actual motions with these actors were actually rubbing their faces as if they were rubbing cream in for the advert that was being filmed.
Oh my God, dear Lord.
So it wasn't... I'd have actually had more respect if Brocky had got the real players to come out and do the Haka, because then at least you'd have been thinking, well, at least he's trying something different with this team. But even then, it would have been embarrassing. It was a joke, and it made them look... They're not in a position to be doing that. You know, their image is tarnished enough. I think the great point you made there was the consistent search for relevance, because I think that's exactly what Berlusconi's doing. He's pumped a lot of money into this team and the Milan side from the early 90s, we all remember, with, you know, Baresi, Maldini, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He made that. He pumped that money in. You can't always consistently do that, especially when the league itself declines. Yeah. And now he's not willing to do or able to put as much money in, but he won't let go of the club. So that's why you get them trying all these different coaches, these different approaches. And realistically, nothing's going to change, because as long as Galliani and Berlusconi have got control of the club, you know, it's not going to change. They want the 1990s success and a shoestring budget. And so now that's why it looks like he's slowly getting in the idea of maybe selling out.
Yeah. All right, Rich, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll have you on sooner than later.
Hopefully you'll come through for a Soweto derby. It's just like the Milan one. Just in Johannesburg.
Just with more swag.
Cheers,
cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys. Cheers. Bye. Oh, Francesco's Totti. We forgot to ask about Totti.
But guys, last
few games.
Griezmann's finishes.
Oh, God. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a bit. But this coming in, Arsenal rocked by star man who has demanded a move to Manchester City. Alexis Sanchez has apparently told his agent, what's his name? Fernando Felicevic, that he wants a move to Man City.
That's not beyond the realms of
And the substitution against Norwich apparently sealed the deal. You saw he walked down the tunnel.
No, didn't. After he got he injured?
No, he wasn't. He walked down the tunnel.
Just having a little...
You know what?
Yeah.
Fuck Alexis Sanchez, man. No,
fuck Alexis Sanchez.
That guy is all film tricks.
Yeah.
Oh, he's...
To be honest, like, ever since his
first
season, he's... Okay, chill.
Okay, all right.
No, like, ever since the first season, where he was undeniably one of Arsenal's most effective players, now he's in diva mode.
Yeah.
He's got this whole I'm bigger than the team attitude, which he doesn't deserve, because Ozil, who's...
Head
and shoulders and fucking midsections above any other Arsenal player, does not let that
You're
hit him.
Diva, yeah.
You lose Alexis Sanchez. Who are Arsenal going to recruit in the summer to come in and replace him?
I have no idea.
You just don't worry. When it comes to scouting, Arsenal,
let's just
will find some guy who's playing in the second division in Mongolia. And he will come in, do a job,
and
get bought by a bigger team.
They've signed the Leicester City scout, like Chief Scout.
Walsh.
Steve Walsh.
No, the other guy. There's another McDermott guy.
Steve Walsh is the guy who brought in N'Golo Kante.
McDermott, he's been there since February. Anyway, let's move on to the Champions League game from last night. Bayern Munich trailing 1-0 against Atletico Madrid, thinking they're going to come home. The most erudite football man in football for the past 10 years, Pep Guardiola, coaching with a cerebral style. A style built on possession, penetration, and pressure.
Technical ability. They look like swans when they...
sounds like X videos.
Vidal was in there making those tackles, getting the grit in, getting the ball, trying to switch the play onto the various... Ribery was angry. He was hyped up. The game was meant to be... They had their slippers on at the Allianz.
No, but guys, that game was good in the last 20 minutes. It was, in fact, it was a good game.
I want to point out Gabi yesterday was incredible. Gabi was
Xabi Alonso was incredible.
And Griezmann.
Xabi Alonso was incredible as well.
Gabi and Saul as well.
What we had on show was basically an advert for the football show's tagline about doping.
Yeah.
Because there are two of the clubs with the biggest doping departments.
I think if you look at
Which one are you talking about? Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid and Bayern.
If you look at distance covered in Europe's top five leagues, those two will be at the top.
Gabi ran, I think, 13 kilometers or something in the last leg. 13 kilometers in 95 minutes.
Full intensity. Not
Gabi and Saul in that midfield.
Not
and then,
small.
I love Griezmann's finish last time. But we didn't see the clip before that. Did Alaba slip? What happened? So someone lost their footing.
Alaba slipped. Actually, it was a slip.
We didn't see it. The camera didn't show it.
The camera didn't show it. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
And they keep showing the same angle for the goal.
And we're trying to see what happened.
Boateng, they have to blame Boateng.
Because they have to blame the taller black guy.
Yeah.
But Boateng, I saw it. I mean, did you see how they were pressing?
Isn't Alaba from Nigeria?
No, he's...
Apparently, he has Nigerian ancestry.
He has Nigerian ancestry.
Yeah, apparently.
Really? He's Austrian, but he's from Nigeria.
Yeah, apparently. Okay. He has... Yeah.
You know, does he claim Nigerian?
No, of course not. He plays for Austria. He's been Austria's player of the year like 4 times in a row now.
Yeah.
Do you remember 18. When Ida Peterside said he went to Onanua's house when he was still playing at City? Onua. And he's like, would you like to play for Nigeria? He's like, I've never even been to Nigeria. I don't even know what...
Yeah, but look at him now. Look at the buffoon now.
He's playing at Celtic. Give the guy.
Is he even starting?
Yeah, he's a league champion.
Nah, please, man.
Him and Blackett.
Fuck him. All the guys who've rejected Nigeria, apart from Barkley, whose time is coming, have all flopped. Fashanu, Agbonlao,
John Fashanu.
Unoha. They've actually, all flopped. Both Fashanu brothers.
Yeah.
Who else?
Did the other Fashanu brother play for England, though?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah.
He bombed in the
Oh, wait, he killed himself.
Yeah, he killed himself. He didn't bomb. He was one of the brightest English talents.
Really?
Before he killed himself. Yeah, he had issues because of homophobia in football. Yeah.
Okay.
Justin.
All right. So, about the game, Pep lost. So, I mean, there've been a litany of tweets about how, you know, he has failed with Bayern Munich.
He has.
But
this is what the
He has not even been
Who wouldn't like to fail the way Pep has failed at?
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has said that he brought in Guardiola to bring success, and he's brought success.
Unfortunately, that's not the success he wanted.
Karl-Heinz, he has said that he is bringing in success, and he came in and he's done that in
a way
he's brought success in general.
European success.
And what did they do? They came in. They've got 3 Bundesliga titles.
They've got the
DFB Cup. They've got the success they wanted,
except in Europe. That's false.
That's false.
The Bayern hierarchy have always said...
We know that, but that's what he said.
No, that's not what he said. He said we wanted success in Europe. Mm-hmm. That has always been the focus because they had success already. Remember before Guardiola came, they were already a successful team in the Bundesliga. Yeah.
Everyone knows that Bayern wants the Champions League, but the unfortunate is that Pep Guardiola...
Everyone knows, behind the scenes, and even in the media, they've always been saying they wanted him to create a European dynasty.
I completely agree with you. I'm just giving you what he said.
No, but Rummenigge, when he was talking about success, he couldn't have been talking about local because Bayern.
I don't know what he could have or could have not been saying.
Locally, Bayern have always been. And also, don't forget, they've made
Uli Hoeneß. Look at it, anyway. Uli Hoeneß, Beckenbauer, all the Bayern hierarchy.
He's in jail, by the way.
Yeah, no, but he still runs things. Let's not even. Uli Hoeneß is the most important person.
Yeah, he's the big man at Bayern. But at the end of the day, I think Pep Guardiola's come. You know, his tenure at Bayern has been great, but it has been a failure in the Champions League, and it's unfortunately once again. He has come up second to...
I think it's a semi-final exit
for the third time in a row.
Guys, a spade is a spade. Not a big spoon, as Atmasibanda would say.
This is a Mourinho-ite. Mourinho hype person speaking, but anyway.
Do we say
Guardiola is a failure by Bayern Munich?
Guys.
Is he a failure? Let's not argue. Is he a failure?
I don't think so.
Let's not argue from ignorance, guys.
I think he's done
well. What was the stated mission of Guardiola at Bayern? To bring success in Europe.
To bring success.
Did he achieve that?
No.
He didn't. He's a failure. Guys, let's not try and
what was Mourinho's excuses. What was Mourinho's
Mourinho. Guys, no, seriously.
To retain the Premier League. Bayern, what did he do? Left Bayern, them in eighth.
Bayern always wanted freaking Guardiola to ensure that they built a European dynasty that matches the stature of the club.
But interesting with
that
Hummels.
Was the mission statement, guys. Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Exactly. So
we
what
all
do you
know
mean
that. But what
failure?
We are with there's quotes.
So what do you mean he's not a failure?
There's what okay, you no, can no, think
but,
of the quote.
But what do you mean he's not a failure? If a club
says he's not
we're
a
bringing
failure.
Him to bring us,
there's
a,
certain ways of winning,
and he doesn't
and
bring
there's certain
a,
ways of
so
losing.
So what is that? What is that? He's not brought them any closer than they were before.
Okay, let's move on.
He's not made them better in the Champions League.
You guys, made your point and I believe you. I think you're
my
right.
My point is...
It's in black and white. It's in black and white. He is supposed to win the Champions League.
And he didn't.
It's that simple.
We didn't. But Barcelona as well, with the Messi, Suarez and Neymar,
no, guys, this
have
is about,
failed to win the
okay,
Champions
guys,
League.
So let's speak to a different question. Bayern. So now, does this mean that Pep's style is redundant against teams that play this way? We've seen this with Jose Mourinho's Inter in 2012, 11, 10? Whenever that
also,
was.
No.
And we've seen it now against Atleti, where... You know, for all the penetration and the possession and the pressure, they've failed.
No, I think for Bayern, the main issue is the lack of competitiveness in their domestic leagues.
Yeah.
In their domestic league. They're not able to play at the level of opposition they face in the latter stages of the Champions League.
Every week.
Mm. Or not even at least a few once-off games. Because even against the Dortmunds and the Wolfsburgs and the Bayerns, they still dominate. So when they get to playing against an inspired Real Madrid and inspired Atleti and inspired Barca. They're not able to up their game because they don't have, or if they try up their game to match the level of opposition, they get pressured into mistakes. They make mistakes because they're not used to it. So the
but
main
issue is
there.
But we have to also look at, I think, as you say, I completely agree with you. I think the Bundesliga is no competition.
It's not competitive.
But
enough.
Also, I think the last time they actually were competitive was Jurgen Klopp's title winning side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before.
And that was when Jupankas had won.
Yeah, he had gone in there. So you actually look at it, when German league is not great.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't help teams to prosper. But then what about the English teams? What about a league that's competitive but the teams don't make it in the final third? What happens to
the
them
English,
what about
in,
them
English,
how can
English
we
English Premier League is another different story that English there's just
is
too
it
much,
too many games
too much
is it,
money
is it the other side of the
too
spectrum
much money.
too much money swirling around. So a lot of teams don't pay attention to organic growth, to development, to scouting, to recruitment, to infrastructure. Because why? Fucking
you have money. You've got 100 million.
Yeah, but look at Bayern though. Their Bayern have also gone out. The recruitment is incredible.
Remember,
buying Lewandowski.
Is one of the best.
Look at Hummels now. He's already stated
Bayern
he's going to Bayern next
Bayern is one of the
season.
Best run clubs in the
no,
world.
No, I completely agree with you. But I'm saying that even look at Keimer. Is it Keimer? Who,
no, but
the
look
young
at their
19-year-old.
No.
But I'm saying their transfer policies are, they are a rich club. They don't have any debt. They are able to offer cheap tickets.
No, but look at the way they build. They build organically. Look, they weakened one of their main rivals, got a young Lewandowski. Remember, he's not even, he's 26, 27. Got Coleman, who's 19.
These are great young players.
And also,
even Bernat. Bernat brought in by Pep
Guardiola
as well.
And don't forget, Bayern has one of the biggest budgets for youth development, right? Bayern, the infrastructure is on point, recruitment. Youth development, so it's not fair to compare Bayern to the likes of the basket cases of England because that is a well run club.
They own
from
their stadium,
everything. They paid their stadium loan off 10 years in advance.
And look at this, but then also they had help from the British, from the German government because they had to build it for the World Cup. So there's also that we have to put it in context.
All right, we're gonna move on to the laundromat very quickly. Because we're running out of time. Anyway, so we have this. I found this very funny. Cesc Fabregas was accused of sparking
touching
the Chelsea Tottenham fracas by slapping.
Typical Cesc. Remember Pizzagate?
Pizzagate.
Oh my God. Did you see against Lamela?
Yes, I remember.
Well,
yeah.
Fair enough, Lamela, he stood on his hand, but he fucking acted like he had amputated his fucking fingers off or something. And then he went in there, grabbed Dyer's
ball. Did you see who's hitting? being pushed over like a rag doll.
But what is that?
What people is are such also, disrespect?
Diego Simeone last night against...
No, but that was an Atletico employee. Yeah.
No, but why do you need to do that still? Why does he...
Because the steroids won't be denied.
That guy has got... He's got fucking demons, man. He needs to exercise his demons.
No, but guys, did you see the photo I posted last night on the TL of
Diego Simeone grabs his crotch
as a player looking...
At Lazio.
It's the doping, man. Because remember,
but we all know,
bag.
Even at Argentina against England, remember what happened with Beckham, getting him sent off.
No, and Simeone then, was dirtier than Gattuso and Ahmed from MSN combined.
And Marco Van Bommel.
Ahmed Faraz Yusuf, my boy.
Oh my God, that's Rhodes University Interleague. League. That guy was the dirtiest player
of all time. The dirtiest player of all time.
Of all time. Anyway, another one here. Spanish lower leagues authorities are stepping in after a solo wonder goal scored in highly suspicious circumstances. This guy ran like the length of the pitch and went and scored. And then Jamie Vardy found a doppelganger.
Ran the length of the pitch and then scored. Yeah. That sounds like a Kong Knights.
How much, guys, do you think the Leicester City players do?
Guys, enough
Monday
to
night,
damage
so.
Their water treatment center. Those at guys, Leicester.
Supposedly, Jamie Vardy had 5 threesomes. 62 Jaeger bombs.
Did you see his clap back at Harry Kane?
That was brilliant. No, I saw that
get banged.
Guys, do you know how much cocaine they do in the UK? Apparently, at Parliament.
Yeah, in the House of Lords.
In the House of Lords, there was so much cocaine in the freaking water supply that it was. They had to do something.
Didn't you see the barrister? The barrister who was in some S&M clothes and he was being videotaped by a prostitute doing cocaine off a butt.
Guys, if David Cameron could
head. Was that in Parliament though?
He's like one of these top.
If David Cameron could fuck a pig's head. This man controls nuclear weapons, but he fucked the pig's head.
Yeah.
Well, in his defense, he said he put his penis in a dead pig's head.
That makes it better.
Anyway, guys, it's been a blast having you guys on. It's been a blast. Thank you for listening to us. Remember.
Thank you.
Chat shit,
get banged.
Get banged.
All boobs matter. Be kind to strippers.
Be very kind to strippers.
Fuck you, Matthew Tierson.
And may the swag be with you.
Yes, may the swag be with you. Thank you.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.